Okay, my name is Verity. I'm one of the members of the leadership team, and I'm doing this morning just to step up, and I'm so glad that Andrew is coming next week. It means I only have to do this once. All right. So, do you know that every day there are approximately 2.6 billion Christians face an unseen conflict every day, most without armor, most unaware that the battle has begun? Think of a stadium, multiply it by 26,000, and that gives you some idea of the scale of the issue that we're talking about. Today, I want to talk about spiritual warfare, because I believe the church is fighting a spiritual war. To start off, I want us to look at some background, and then I want us to look at the biblical text. 44% of Australians still identify as Christian. Interestingly, 39% now say they have no religion but are open to spiritual ideas. Large numbers feel that there's something spiritual beyond the natural world, yet few Christians feel equipped to recognize or engage in spiritual conflict. Belief in the unseen is widespread. Preparedness is not. The early church expected opposition and trained for it. I believe that ignorance is vulnerability. So this morning, I want to talk about some of the current trends, the tactics, the strategies, and what we as individuals and as a church can do. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18, or you can follow with me on the screen. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, when you see the word therefore, take note, it's there for a reason. Put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. So looking at this text, what are the key phrases? Key phrases are the full armor, which is what? Truth, righteousness, feet ready, faith, salvation, word, prayer. Notice how in verse 12 it says about keep standing, and notice how it says about keep praying. I think to understand the spiritual world, we have to understand spiritual beings. Verse 12 talks about spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. When you read that passage in 2 Kings, it talks about when Elisha was surrounded by the enemy. Actually, Russell, you say Elisha, I say Elisha. Tomato, tomato, potato, potato. All right. When Elisha prayed, he prayed that one of his servants, that his eyes would be opened to the spiritual realm, and suddenly his faith and his courage were bolstered. Let's talk a little bit about angels. Let's look at their characteristics and what the Bible says. Spiritual beings can also take human form. They're ranked lower than God, but higher than people. They do not marry or have children. They do not die. And the Bible describes categories: the seraphim, the cherubim, the living creatures, and the archangels. They also possess intellect. If you look up 2 Samuel, it talks about wisdom like that of an angel. They have emotions. They rejoice in heaven over one sinner who repents. They're mighty and powerful. They're involved in the judgments and revelation, and they were responsible for rolling the stone away at that tomb. They help and administer to believers. They reveal truth and guide. They have a free will, but they're not part of God's family. And they bring believers to heaven. In Luke 16, it talks about angels carrying Lazarus to Abraham's side. So they're the good guys. What about the bad guys? The fallen angels. Ezekiel 28, Satan was once a cherub, a superior angel, who lost his position due to pride. He was cast out by the time of Genesis 3. The fallen angels were originally created as holy angels, and a third of them rebelled with Satan and were cast down from heaven. The devil is still active in today's world. He's known as the prince of the world, the god of this age, the prince of the power of the air. Now think about this. What satanic influences are involved with that? Think of airwaves, think of media, think of propaganda. And he prowls around like a lion, ready to devour. Who does he devour? The sleepy, the unprepared, the unsuspecting Christian who doesn't see the spiritual dangers around him. How many times have you felt frustrated when you want to get somebody by the shoulders and say to them, "Can you not see what I see?" The Bible gives clear warnings of things to be wary of, and I've noticed some examples on this slide. But there are other more subtle examples that influence people. 200 meters behind me is an Anglican church. 200 meters in that direction is a Masonic lodge. And if that isn't a physical representation of spiritual war, I don't know what is. What should we be wary of today? I think one of the things is the quest for respectability, the approval from secular society leading to compromise to avoid being seen as different or unpopular. We have a number of school teachers here in this congregation, and just this week there was a school teacher in Ireland who was released from prison. He had been in prison for 560 days because he refused to use the they pronouns on a student. I wonder how many of you here would be willing to do that, to give up your job and your job title for what you believe in. I believe today we're beginning to see the separation of the wheat from the tares. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I want us now to understand some of the common spiritual tactics and strategies used against Christians by examining some of the current trends. I want us to look at the biblical warnings and corresponding scriptures about how best to respond to them, and how both we as a church and as an individual can help fight against them. The Bible teaches that there is an active enemy. Satan is called the deceiver, the tempter, the accuser, and the roaring lion. But let's not forget, dear Christian, that in 1 John 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Now let's look at the trends. There's some alarming current trends highlighted in today's news headlines. Pictured on the right of the slide is some of the headlines that I've copied and pasted. There is a growth in people dabbling in spirituality and occult practices. Numerous surveys show significant uptick, particularly within our young adults. There are reported increases in witchcraft-related activities worldwide. Organizations such as the Satanic Temple have had higher public visibility and membership increases. This has been reported in our Australian mainstream media and also our census results. But this isn't just happening in Australia, this is happening worldwide. In the Bible, it says clearly that in the latter days, some people will leave the faith, following deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, and that Christians will be handed over to be persecuted. To the right of the slide is a copy of a report done by the Multi-Faith Council of Australia in March of last year. It outlines that many have left the Christian faith. To the left of the slide, you might recognize him. His name is Mick McCarthy. He is a Sydney street evangelist. And on the occasions when he has gone with his sign, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, not even publicly preaching, but standing with a sign outside the Opera House, he has numerous times had police and security called, citing that he was contravening bylaws. This is the start of things to come. I don't know whether you've been following the news headlines this week, but I'm sure you will have heard about the hate speech legislation which has just been passed through. This will significantly impact churches here in Australia. The key concerns are that there will be criminalisation charges against those who preach doctrines, teachings, discuss topics of sensitivity. There's some uncertainty over sermons, whether they will be deemed harmful, whether they're directed at an individual. Stand firm, dear Christian. Let's look at the tactics. If we know what the tactics are, then we can recognize them and we know how to stand against them. This is a big one, division in the church. Division through factions, distrust, gossip, doctrinal disputes, personality clashes, music, politics. Let me just discuss worship music. I think we have to be very careful. It's great to have a nice catchy tune, isn't it? But if the lyrics aren't biblical, we can be doing real harm. And particularly those that are young Christians or those that are coming into the church for the first time. I think also as well we need to be mindful that there's a lot of groups out there that although they have a Christian name, they're not actually Christian. And in some respects, I personally feel it's a good idea to have a traditional hymn each week as part of the repertoire. I think, you know, the lyrics are biblically sound, and I think it brings a sense of, you know, reverence and awe to the service as well. I particularly love the hymns like Crown Him with Many Thorns or Thine Be the Glory. Just something to think about. But going back to division, Jesus warned very clearly about division. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. The Apostle Paul also said, watch out for those who cause divisions, keep away from them. Proverbs 6, the Lord hates one who sows discord amongst brothers. Next tactic. Recruitment, infiltration, and false churches. Firstly, let's talk about the recruitment and false churches. The satanic cults specifically target the disillusioned, the curious, the spiritually searching. They try to offer belonging, identity, and answers to those who are hurt in society. And then they immediately indoctrinate people and give them rules and make it difficult for them to leave. The Bible also talks about infiltration. Talks about false teachers and wolves in sheep's clothing. 2 Peter, false teachers will secretly bring in destructive heresies. And Galatians, it talks about warning about anyone who preaches a different gospel. We're seeing that today, aren't we? We're seeing the gospel of diversity. We're seeing the gospel of prosperity. But you will know these people by their fruits. Just following on with regards to infiltration, there's what's known as scanning the churches. There are people out there who purposely enter churches to observe for leadership gaps, isolation, lack of accountability, and other church weaknesses. They use public info, such as websites, social profiles, to exploit vulnerabilities. The Bible says very clearly, be sober, be watchful, be discerning. Savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. This is happening in Australia right now. This is happening in Victoria right now. I had a conversation with a pastor a few months ago who told me that this happened within his congregation in Victoria. Use of technology and media. I'm sure you're all aware of the satanic influence there is, particularly within our film and our music industry. Deception has already been used through use of artificial intelligence. That's something I last spoke about when I talked about science and technology in the Bible. If you want to go over those resources, they're still on the website. Algorithms are being used to amplify sensational content in Christian media to discredit the Christian message. And as you can see on the right-hand side of the slide, this has already been debated within some of our theology journals. The Bible tells us clearly to test the spirits and safeguard what you watch. The next tactic is a big one. Targeting our young people. Young people face identity questions and exposure to alternative views, opinions, and spiritualities, both online and within our schools. If you go online and look at the Australian curriculum and read through some of the content descriptions, particularly within the module of humanities and social sciences, you will see for yourself there is a very strong anti-Christian bias. Within our schools, they're being taught cultural, gender, sexual diversity, global citizenship. The biblical view is viewed as being intolerant. Is it any wonder then that between the period of 2009 to 2024 that our homeschooling rates have doubled? However, this has been looked at. The United Nations have in the last month released a report, Homeschooling Through the Home Rights Lens. And what you will see in the next few years is there's going to be a real clampdown on what is going on in our Christian schools, what is going on in our private households. The best interests of the child will be defined by the government, not by the parents. And I quote from this report. Example, by age 5, children must be able to define gender and biological sex and describe how they are different. This is transgenderism. And it will come subtly under the guise of human rights of the child. Horrifyingly as well, in America, they've even introduced after-school Satan clubs. And these have been established on purpose to counter the evangelical Christian good news clubs. If you don't believe me, look it up for yourself. Other tactics used by the devil and satanic forces include sowing moral confusion and relativism. That's something I'm hearing more and more about now, but people say, well, that's your truth, this is my truth, there's no absolute truth. I'm hearing that more and more now in conversations with people. Accusations, false allegations to discredit church leaders. Sowing doubt and fear in the believers are often the first tactics used. Remember that one, dear Christian. Deception through the AI influence. Increase in false news. Spiritual counterfeits to appeal to the masses. And next year there will be the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals Summit, where there will be a gathering of world religious leaders. I'm somewhat skeptical as to what will come about from this, because it's usually to the detriment of Christianity. Be careful, dear Christian. Do not put your faith in political leaders, religious leaders, science leaders, celebrities. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. In 1933, Hitler made speeches that appeared to support Christians and Christian values in Germany, and consequently church leaders, some of them embraced the evil ideology and the anti-Semitism. Others were silent about what was going on, whilst others like Bonhoeffer spoke out and gave their lives. During the pandemic, I saw for myself so often Christians saying, oh, well, so-and-so says this. I felt like saying, well, what does the Holy Spirit say? We're supposed to be spirit-filled. We're supposed to be spirit-led. So many church leaders were silent about some of the injustice that went on. Do you know that there were over 20,000 nurses, midwives, doctors, allied health professionals who lost their jobs during the pandemic? Wasn't reported in the mainstream media. And a lot of them, dear Christians, were your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ's family. Just recently, I listened to a podcast. A pastor once asked ChatGPT, if you were the devil, what would you do? And this was the answer that came back. I tell you, the truth is relative, your truth, my truth, until nobody knows which way is up. I'd whisper, as long as you're happy, it's right. I'd keep you busy, too busy for prayer, too busy for church, too busy to ask eternal questions. I'd fill your hands with a phone so you'd never have time to fold them in prayer. I'd break families, get fathers absent, marriages bitter, kids confused. And if I can fracture the home, I can fracture the future. I'd divide the church with petty arguments, comparison, offense, celebrity culture. If I can get Christians fighting each other, they'll never fight me. I'd desensitize you, glamorize sin in movies, normalize it in music, laugh at it in comedy, and celebrate it in culture, until once what shocked you now entertains you. I'd attack your identity and make you question who you are and where you belong and whether you matter, and whisper shame so loud that you can't hear God's voice of love. And through it all, I wouldn't even try to prove I exist. My greatest trick is to convince you that I'm not real, because if you don't believe I'm real, you'll never resist. This is happening right now. Can't you see it every day? So let's look at the practical responses. How are we going to fight this as Christians? Put on the full armor. As we read in Ephesians, let me just remind you what that armor is. The truth, the righteousness, the feet ready, the faith, the salvation, the word, the prayer. Root your identity in Christ. Practice discipleship. What do I mean by that? I mean hearing, doing, and applying the word of God. Memorize scripture. It's easy to do that. How often do we spend time on our phones? Screenshot a Bible verse. Learn a Bible verse each day when you're having a tea break, a lunch break. Be wary of open doors, for example, evil influences through media, astrology, etc. These make Christians susceptible targets for demons and impact their relationship with God. Practice spiritual disciplines like prayer, repentance, and accountability. Some people even fast, not something I feel that I'm very good at doing myself, but others find much benefit from doing that. Now let's look at the church. Strengthen your discipleship pathways and your youth ministry. youth ministry is so important in these days that we are living. Get behind the likes of Jenny Elder and Emma Burfitt. There shouldn't be any occasion that they come up here and say we need more people. That should be one of our top priorities here within this church. Develop workshops and training sessions. Educate and inform congregations about the real spiritual threat to counteract satanic tactics and schemes, just as we're doing right now. Encourage unity. This is something that I am just so conscious of as we move into the next transition with our interim pastor and our permanent pastor that hopefully God is planning in the background. Psalm 133 verse 1, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Emphasize repentance and restoration of relationship with God. Keep those doors shut. Spiritual warfare is real. It is through Jesus' blood that we have victory, not in our own strength and efforts. Prayer protects and breaks down demonic strongholds. Pray without ceasing and pray for unity in this church. Know your Bible. Keep studying it. It is by doing this that you will be guided by the Holy Spirit and have discernment in the battle. Or maybe you're in a different situation. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you look around you and you think, yes, I can see for myself there's definitely a battle going on here between good and evil. But I haven't taken that step of faith yet, and I don't know how to. Well, today you can. You can do it right now. You can raise your hand if you want to take that step of commitment. If you want to join the Lord's army, I can pray with you today. Who would like to raise their hand? Who would like to join the Lord's army today? Is everyone in this room saved? Are we all saved Christians? If you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? Or perhaps you want to recommit. Is there anybody here that wants to recommit today? I don't know all of you. For those that have committed, I don't know all of you. I know some of you have had very trying challenges. You've experienced loss, grief, disappointments, hurts. Can I just say that I've had some encouragement when I think that life here is temporary. The next life is eternal. And when we get there, it will all be worth it. When I look around, I see some of us are a little bit nearer the finish line than others. Okay. It will be worth it. But maybe like Queen Esther, you were born for such a time as this. Jesus in Revelation doesn't want to scare us. He wants to prepare us. And he has given us the tools, the training, and the armor to do it. The question is, dear Christian, are you going to use them? I think of that hymn as I was preparing for this sermon this week. I thought of that hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers Marching as to War, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the Royal Master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banner go. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we. One in hope and doctrine, one in charity. And I would like to finish now with a blessing over each of you. Close your eyes in prayer. May God give you the wisdom to shine. May he give you the wisdom for this season and the next. May he direct your footsteps. May he lead you. May he teach you. May he guide you every step of your path as you fight your spiritual battle with his armor day by day. Amen.